It's Tuesday. What do we know about the taxes we will pay? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Decoding taxes is our regular beat here, with the Republicans turning their blueprint into a plan tomorrow. The drip of information could increase today, but tax reform has so many moving parts. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is in Washington. Nancy, Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine is the latest member of Congress to express doubts about the tax overhaul. What are we hearing?
She says she doesn't see any need to cut the estate tax, which Republicans would actually like to eliminate. She also doesn't think the top tax rate should be lowered for people making more than $1 million a year, which could happen if taxes on partnerships like hedge funds were cut. And she doesn't want the tax overhaul to, in her words, blow a hole in the deficit. So her vote may be hard to get.
We've reported today on possible cuts to Medicaid and Medicare as part of this, and tax deductions for people who own houses. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, the Republicans made a big enemy in the past few days on this. The National Association of Home Builders came out in favor of the GOP tax plan at first. They thought Republicans in the House were going to include a new tax credit for mortgage interest and property taxes in their bill. This is the one being released tomorrow. But that deal fell through, and House Republicans say they will keep the deduction for property taxes. But the home builders say that's not enough. And for now, they are against the tax overhaul.
All right. So the plan tomorrow. But what are next steps to watch?
Well, like everybody else in town, the home builders will lobby like crazy against what they don't like in the tax bill. And they are a powerful force, both in terms of lobbying and campaign contributions. Lobbyists will be swarming all over Capitol Hill tomorrow because every deduction Republicans want to take away has backers who've sworn to protect it. And Senator Collins is stressing the Senate is going to come up with its own tax bill.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Lawyers from Facebook, Twitter, and Google will testify in front of Congress today as part of an investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. The tech companies are planning to share details on how Russian agents used social media. Prepared testimony is being parsed ahead of time here. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra takes the example here of what Facebook will say.
So earlier this year, Facebook disclosed that it had shut down hundreds of fake accounts on its platform that were backed by this company called the Internet Research Agency. It's a Russian company based in St. Petersburg that's known for flooding the internet with pro-Kremlin, anti-Western propaganda. Now, Facebook is saying that over about 2.5 years, these Russian accounts cranked out tens of thousands of posts that showed up in the Facebook news feeds of about 126 million people in the U.S. That's almost 40% of the U.S. population. And, you know, until now, this whole discussion has really focused on ads. Facebook said in September that this Russian company bought about $100,000 worth of politically divisive ads on its platform. Congress is even considering a bill that would require internet companies to disclose more information about political ads on their sites. But that alone wouldn't have solved the problem here, because these Russian agents were using regular old Facebook posts, too.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. What are my Halloween choices here? A pumpkin story, black cat story. Let me see. How about spider? Scientists in Michigan are using genetic engineering to reproduce spider silk for a wide range of uses, including military uniforms. Kevin Lavery reports from WKAR in East Lansing.
If you're a fan of superheroes, you know the story. Boy meets spider. Spider bites boy. Boy designs uber cool spider suits. Now, scientists are moving from science fiction to develop real-life uses for spider silk. The U.S. Army has a $1 million contract with Craig BioCraft Laboratories, based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The company is developing an elastic yet durable fiber that can be woven into protective clothing. The science is fairly new, but the source is very old.
Silkworms produce silk. Spiders produce silk. They have different recipes, different designs.
Craig Labs' COO John Rice is describing the protein silkworms use to spin their cocoons and spiders their webs. Spiders produce a particularly tough material. Problem is, it's hard to round up a lot of spiders in one place to harvest their silk. They tend to eat each other. So Craig Labs had to get creative.
We've taken that recipe from the spider, recreated that, and created an enhanced silkworm, a genetically engineered silkworm, that produces that spider's design.
Rice says spider silk is more elastic than Kevlar, the fibrous material found in the Army's combat helmet since the 1980s. So his company's product could also be used in body armor and even protective undergarments. Scientists at Michigan State University are also working on a silk product derived from spider DNA. Chad Pastor is the business development manager there. The process starts with fermenting replicated spider DNA, almost like beer. Then
they extrude them and they spin them into threads to make fabrics.
Silk protein fabrication is still an evolving science, but Craig Labs is leaning on a lot of institutional knowledge. Silk has been a commercial industry since ancient China some 4,000 years ago. Now, with the advent of gene sequencing, the cost of replicating spider DNA is dropping dramatically, clearing the way for more products to come to market. That's all there is to tell for now. This yarn has been spun. In East Lansing, Michigan, I'm Kevin Lavery for Marketplace.
And some of the big Wall Street firms had a formal deal. If somebody quits to walk across the street and work for the competition, they won't sue. But now Morgan Stanley is dropping out of that pact, saying people are gaming this and taking away too many clients. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.